Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me today, I have my brother, Taj Jackson.
What's up?
What's going on, Taj?
Yeah.
And we have co-host Royal Jackson.
What's up, guys?
How you guys doing?
Why is your voice lower than mine?
Yeah, it always is. Yeah.
We are live on the Power of Love show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take some questions via Twitter, of course. Taj is on his phone right now, but I trust he's doing social media work.
It's social media.
He showed me, so it's confirmed. He's already on it.
Where's the apology?
Did I say you weren't? Or did
I said I was on my phone.
Okay. I'm not sure.
It was implied.
Okay. So an implied apology as well to you, Taj. Twitter handle is at DDJ Foundation. If you want to tweet, if you want to ask questions, have some comments, make sure you could do so at DDJ Foundation. Disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Right, Taj?
Exactly.
Right, Royal?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. We have a good show.
A great show.
We have a guest who is going to join us on the line. Dr. Rosalind Tompkins, hopeologist, Dr. Rosalind Tompkins. But before we get to her, Taj, how was your week?
Week was good. Just saw a lot of family this week, which was really cool. I saw Grandma, Jaribi.
Nice.
Stacy, Austin. I could go down with Lil Randy. Yeah. But I saw them on Saturday, and then Sunday saw Auntie Lourdes and her whole crew, Lana.
That's right. Uncle for Mike. Easter Sunday.
Yeah. So it was great. I mean, it was really, you know, it's always great hanging out with family and stuff like that. So it was kind of a back-to-back good weekend. Usually I don't have anything to talk about my week, but that was a really cool week.
Well, you did just state that you saw family, list a bunch of family. You didn't really specify what exactly you did. But it's okay.
Oh, so in terms of, for Saturday, we went to the Kingdom Hall memorial, which we do every year.
Okay.
And that was incredible. It's always incredible. And then on Sunday was with Auntie Lourdes.
Easter Sunday.
Yes.
Anything else exciting for your week?
That's as far as I can go back. Without cheating and looking.
Okay. That's good, though.
Yeah.
Did well.
Thank you.
Especially on the short notice, because usually Terrell goes first. So
yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
It seems like this is going to be a good show for you. Royal, what was anything exciting for your week?
No.
No?
No, just video games.
Video games. What's the game, Royal?
Fortnite.
I saw your highlight clip, by the way.
On Instagram? Which one? The sniper one?
Yeah, of course the sniper one.
That's a nice one.
That game's that good?
For him.
Yeah.
It's fun?
Yeah.
But I thought you didn't like cartoon-looking games.
No, I don't like Overwatch.
He just doesn't like Overwatch. He doesn't like team-play games. He likes being on his own.
I play Counter-Strike. That's a team-play game.
Yeah, but you can single-handedly win on your own.
Not like Counter-Strike.
Okay. Forget Counter-Strike. Real quick, one more question on video games. Fortnite. It seems like it's a huge phenomenon. Every kid is playing Fortnite.
It's the biggest phenomenon.
Has it surpassed last year's Overwatch?
Yes.
It's a different.
It's surpassed.
I have to say. Well, I have to say one thing.
I'm watching sports clips. There you go.
Okay. I'm watching sports clips and seeing people doing dances from Fortnite.
It's free. So how can you compete with free?
You can. That's also a better game.
You can compete with free, but I get your point. It's very difficult.
Free doesn't matter to Drake, and he plays it.
Free doesn't matter to Drake, but Drake also knows that it's popular. Trust me, if five people were playing it, Drake wouldn't be playing it.
You agree with that?
Huh?
No. He was playing.
Okay.
Plays 2K.
All right. Anything else, son, with your week? Anything else exciting?
No.
We were in Vegas for 4 days for spring break. Mm-hmm. We were trying to go see Grandpa, but we didn't make it in time, unfortunately. But we had a good weekend. We saw the MJ1 show, which was fantastic. But that's why we weren't in town for the Saturday event. But we made it back, like you said, for Auntie Lourdes' thing. And it's always great seeing family. I'm trying to think what else we did. Anything else we did? No? Not much, huh? It's weird because as we get older, it seems like... obviously, time flies faster and faster, but it seems like life gets simpler in a way.
No, it's just repetitious.
Repetitious? Okay. Well, you guys ready to go right into our show?
I'm always ready.
Royal, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember... What are you doing, son? You're drinking a Subway drink while I'm about to start my intro. You got to always be prepared, young man. All right. We're laughing. All right. On today's show, we have a doctor. Okay, first, I should say it this way. She's the founder and president of Mothers in Crisis, Inc., which is a nonprofit organization committed to linking families and communities together to provide networks of support and encouragement for families to live productively, empowered, hope-filled lives.
Love it.
She's recognized as a hopeologist. I love that term. I've never heard that term. Yeah. Have you, Taj?
No. This is the first time I've heard it, but love that term.
So she's recognized as a hopeologist. She's received a doctorate of humanities degree from the Fivefold Ministry Theological University in 2012. It recognized her as a humanitarian for the work that she has done to end drug and alcohol addiction.
Wow.
Without much further ado, Dr. Rosalind, I hope I'm saying that right, Dr. Rosalind Tompkins, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
First of all,
I'm honored to be here.
Thanks for joining us. How was my pronunciation of your name?
Wonderful.
Okay. You can correct me. My
yes,
brother will correct
do.
Me. So if I say something wrong or if they do, please correct them, okay?
Okay. But you're doing good.
Cool. So my first question, Dr. Ross, first of all, thank you for joining us. My first question to you is, hopeologist, is that a legitimate, legitimate is the wrong word, but is that a real term or is that kind of a slang term or what's hopeologist?
Well, hopeologist, that's my trademark moniker, and it's patent with the U.S. Patent Office.
Beautiful.
And an hopeologist is someone who's filled with hope that empowers others to spread hope by making hope connections. In essence, I believe that I can change the world through hope.
Beautiful. I love it, yes.
Beautiful. So you're not only a doctor, you're an entrepreneur because you trademarked hopeologist, which is cool, which I love. Did you think of that name real quick, or that term?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's like, yeah, I thought of it. Okay. So this month, as in April, it's a big month for us. Our mother, who the foundation was built upon, her birthday was actually Sunday, April 1. So April's a significant month for my brother and my family, and for you. The National Month of Hope, April. Is that correct?
Yes.
How did that come about? And I know you had a big part of making it National Month of Hope. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I'd just like to say it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you guys are doing in the name and in honor of your mother.
Thank you.
I'm sure that she is smiling at you from all of the good love and goodwill and hope that you're putting out there now.
That's right.
In her name.
That's right.
The April is the first ever National Month of Hope, and basically it was established through Mothers in Crisis it's like we've been in existence now for 27 years, and on our 25th anniversary, we actually went to our city and county. I'm located here in Tallahassee, Florida, the capital of Florida. And on our 25th anniversary in 2016, we got proclamations declaring every Friday as Hope Universe Day. So for about a year, we celebrated Hope Universe Day. Every Friday, we'd say Happy Hope Universe Day, and we encouraged everyone to celebrate it. And we decided to take it to the national level. And we applied with the National Day Calendar and sent in an application for April, which is our also our anniversary month, to become the first ever National Month of Hope. And out of approximately 18,000 applications, they chose 30 for that particular season. And we were one. Mm. So we found out in June, and we've been preparing for it. And we had a big kickoff on Sunday, and just really getting the word out there and encouraging people to take the Hope Challenge, which is to think hope and to make hope connections.
Okay, so you led right into my next question, the Hope Challenge. It's something that we're all going to be trying to do, hashtag Hope Challenge, on all our social media. That's the goal, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what is exactly is the Hope Challenge? And let's start with that. What is the Hope Challenge?
Well, the Hope Challenge is we're challenging people to think hope and then to make hope connections. And by think hope, basically what we're saying is a lot of times when things happen, we automatically think about the negativity or the badness or how hard it is, how challenging it may be, and sometimes it leads to a place of hopelessness. And as a matter of fact, I believe the United States is facing a hope crisis because for the past several years now, the suicide rate has increased. And at one point in our history, it was going down. But now, from 1999 through 2014, it's actually increased 24%.
Wow.
And that's a sign of hopelessness. And with so many other social issues and things that's going on, sometimes people have a tendency to give up, but it starts in your mind think that, you know, there's no hope and nothing can change and why am I here? So that's why the challenge begins with thinking hope. And we're asking people, we want to inspire at least 10,000 over the year hope connections where you first of all connect with hope and you begin to think, well, you know, hope is future oriented. So even though it may be bad right now, it's dark right now, there's always tomorrow. Things are going to get better. As long as there's breath in my body, there is hope and I am breathing. So beginning to look for the hope in the midst of the challenge, that's the first step. And then the second step is once you find hope and you have hope, make a hope connection with someone else by spreading that hope. Have a hope chat where you talk to someone who may be experiencing hopelessness or maybe just down, you know, maybe just, you know, not having a good day or maybe a bad season, and being equipped to go to that person and using the seven steps that we outline and bring hope to them. And I believe that if we can do that, if we begin to do that as a nation, we could change the world.
I completely agree. I have to go back to something you said, where you said since 1999 we've been actually suffering from an increase of suicide. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why do you think, Dr. Rosalind, why do you think our youth is struggling now, more now than ever, or more now than it was 20 years ago?
I believe it's because of so much that's going on, especially when it comes to the shootings, the mass shootings that's just taking place everywhere. You know, our political climate is so divisive today, and even with the natural disasters that have taken place and continue to take place, and it's just so much that our young people are going through. And as a matter of fact, these statistics are from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and the percentage increase in suicide rates for females was greatest for the ages of 10 through 14. And for males, it was 45 through 64.
Wow. That's interesting. That's interesting. For females, it's the 10 through 14, the young, you know, where they're still developing and still learning what the world is.
Yes.
And then for men, it's kind of later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next question I wanted to ask you is how can... No, let me ask you this. I'm sorry. This is an important one. I assume you're a mother, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I have my own theory or my own approach, but when you sense a child, whether it's your own or another child, is struggling in life or seems to have lost all hope, what is something that our listeners can latch onto, some piece of advice that you recommend or something that you do that you see that seems to be effective and working well for your situation with that person?
Well, one of the things, the greatest compliment that I've ever received in my entire life came from my daughter, who is an adult now. She is she's 30, and she's married, and she has, and I have grandchildren. I have three grandchildren, and the youngest one is I think he's a month old now.
Oh, wow.
He just came here.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah. But several years ago, she said something to me that really blessed me. She said, "Mama, you know, you are the most positive person that I know." She said, "Every time we talk, you always bring it back to a positive place."
Mm.
And that was before I had been deemed as the hopeologist. And but it was just out of my own circumstances and the things that I went through when I was hopeless, when I was struggling with drug addiction for 12 years, and I went through some really dark times, and coming out of that on the other end, and it being my daughter, Janar, whenever I was pregnant with her, that actually brought hope to me for the first time in a long time. Well, and I called her my baby of hope. And when she came along, it just changed my whole paradigm. I reconnected with my faith in God, and I just it was just a turnaround, and it started with how I saw the world.
So
I began to look for that hope.
Was that instantly? Was that right when she was born? Was there an incident that kind of triggered that change for you?
Well, that's a loaded question, TJ, because I had gone through so much, as they say, many bottoms. So by the time she came, it was the catalyst to bring about the change. It was like, okay, enough is enough. I had already lost one baby as a result of using while pregnant, and I had to deliver her stillborn. And by the way, all of this information, I've written about it, and it's available out there, because I use my story to bring hope. That's one of the reasons why I am a hopeologist, because I don't mind sharing the dark times so that we
That's
can
right.
help bring you to the light.
That's right.
Exactly.
And so I guess by the time she came along, it was just about time.
Yeah, beautiful.
It was about time.
Now, you just said you've shared all this. And I guess it's a good time to mention your book. Well, you have four books. You have Nimble, Anointed Words and Power. You have There is Hope. You have You Are Beautiful. And then you have As Long as There is Breath in Your Body, correct?
Yes, As Long as There is Breath in Your Body, There is Hope.
Okay.
And that is my signature book. And I'm also in the midst of writing a sequel and also writing a screenplay.
Wow. Oh, cool.
So that's the book to start with. That would be the...
yes.
Okay. As long as there's breath in your body. And in that book, you kind of share your personal story. And I think it's very admirable that you do that, because what we've learned, I don't know how much you know about us, but we're from the Jackson family, where we've been really private and taught to be private. But we've kind of learned that the more we can connect with people and be...
And share our story.
I don't want to say authentic, because we are authentic. It's just, like Tasha said, share our story. The more we can share, the more impact we actually have. And I commend you for writing, you know, about your story in your life. And as you know, and I'm sure as you've heard from readers, it's made a difference in their life. Yeah. And I just advise everyone who's listening that, you know, you're not completely alone. You're not weird for whatever you're going through, and the best way is to connect with people and get it out. Would you agree with that, Dr. Rosalind?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I, you know, I always say that in the beginning, like when my daughter, she was just a baby, and I would do all these interviews and in the magazines and different things, and I was like, dog, I seem like my business is all out there. And I'll never forget, I heard the Lord tell me, it's not your business, you know, it's my business, and someone needs to hear your story. And basically, whenever I realized that, and I saw the impact over the years through Mothers in Crisis, the organization that I founded to help other women just like myself, I realized the power of the story, and that was decades ago. And so I've been kind of sharing it ever since. And I did want to say I am honored to be with you guys. The Jackson Dynasty is just so wonderful. to see what you all are doing now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Very sweet. Question: Mothers in Crisis. Can you?
Yes.
I know it's your nonprofit. It's pretty telling what it's about in the name Mothers in Crisis. If I'm a mother and I'm suffering some, basically, who's the mothers you're talking to, and who are you trying to reach out to for Mothers in Crisis?
Well, over the years, it has evolved. In the very beginning, it was mainly for the mothers that were struggling because of the drugs and alcohol addiction, and for the children, for the babies, and for the children that were being born at that time. It was a big crack cocaine epidemic, and wasn't much help available. And I was a single parent. I'd just gotten myself together, and I really believed that I could help my sisters. I remember thinking that if I'm free, and they're not free, then am I really free? And the answer for me was no. And it was especially during the time when they were jailing mothers for putting them in jail for using and all of this stuff, this crisis, this big crisis going on. So we started out that way. But over the years, we realized that you cannot work with the mother without impacting the whole family.
Right.
So we started programs for the children, kids and partnership programs, programs for the teens, and so just working with the whole family. Now, fast forward to today, our main thrust is this hope message and spreading hope and getting the message that as long as there's breath in your body, there is hope and the power of hope out there. What we do on a local basis, though, we continue on a voluntary, because now, back then, I used to write grants and manage grants, and we had all these programs and stuff. But here, what we're doing now is all voluntary. So we work with women and families when they come to us, but we don't do the direct services. We mainly refer them and give them information, referral services to other programs.
Okay. So it's a starting point for okay. Well, there you go. So, and then what's is there a website address for Mothers in Crisis we should be saying now that we've talked about that?
Well, all of the hub for all of this information can be found on hope-universe.com, and you can get to it various ways through makeaconnection.com, mothers-in-crisis.com, think-hope.com. It'll lead you to that hub, to that same website, and it has information on there about Mothers in Crisis as well.
Great. Taj, were you?
Yeah, I have in terms of your approach for a mother compared to a child, what is it? Because obviously with the mother, there's more experience, and in terms of that, what's your approach in terms of talking to children or talking to teenagers compared to talking to a mother, or in that way for hope?
With hope,
yes.
You know, that's a good question, because that is something that we definitely want to continue to do, and that's to reach the millennials and the young people in order for them to carry on this legacy. And one of the things that I see that really makes a difference with my grandchildren and some of the other children that are part of the organization is the fun, when you can bring the message to them in a fun way. For instance, when we had our kickoff of the April as the first ever National Month of Hope, we released balloons in the sky, because hope is like helium in the balloon. It causes you to rise up above your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And before we released the balloons, we shared about what it was all about. And then we had all the kids out there, and we allowed them to release the balloons, and just kind of getting the message across to them in ways that they will they'll receive it. It'll be fun. They'll understand it, because when you look at those statistics, I always say those are people. They're not just numbers, and we're talking about 10-year-olds who are killing themselves, and you know, young people who just starting out in life, and it's like whenever that early, they don't see the hope. There's no hope around, and they don't feel the relevance of even remaining here. Mm-hmm. It's just something that I believe that we as parents and as adults have to make this life as much as we can exciting and fun, and keep them future oriented. Mm-hmm. because that's where that's where hope lies. It lies in the future.
That's right.
Exactly. We have a Twitter question in terms. It's from Toria. She says, "Have you ever met someone that was in such a difficult situation that you didn't manage to impact positively and give them hope?"
I've never met anyone that I didn't plant a seed of hope in.
That's great.
Now, what happened to the seed? Sometimes I can see it, and they are around, or they'll, send me an email or some type of message later on and tell me how it made an impact. And then some I can't see. But I believe that the power of hope and the power of our love and our ability just to connect with others will always result in a good seed being planted in their heart, and that I just believe that the seed will grow and it will bear fruit. So that's how I look at this now.
I love that answer. I think it's such a strong answer, because sometimes, you know, if a child of ours or a student, or you know, if we're a coach, if we're not connecting with a child and we feel like, you know, they're not making the change, sometimes we can beat our own selves up. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think what you said is so right. I think we have to take the approach of making sure we plant a seed and just try to continue to water the seed until things change for that person. Another thing I love what you said was when you said future orientated, because I think that's one of the biggest issues. I think a lot of times people who have lost hope are so wrapped up in their current situation, in any present turmoil, that they're not seeing the big picture. Mm-hmm. And is it? I assume that's something that you kind of stress when you're dealing with anyone who's in a crisis. Do you try to inform them that it is a long road and things will get better? I assume that's one of the approaches you take.
Yes, that's we have a seventh step approach that we are encouraging everyone to use, and we call it IPGLIWU, because it stands for identify, prepare, go, listen, encourage, empower, and wrap up. And as a part of that, of those seven steps, it really is getting to the place where you are listening to that person, where you are connecting, and where you are committing to continue the conversation with them if that's what they want. Mm. And also empowering them with some type of information and support that will help them, because in order for hope to really be powerful, there has to be help as a part of it. And even if you don't provide the help, you can know where they can go to get the help, mm-hmm. or either bring the help to them, but in some way empowering them. I mean, it's not enough to say, oh, I know everything is going to work out, it's going to be better, and then just leave it at that. You need to take the steps, the next step, and say, you know, may I continue to check on you, or may we continue to have this conversation? May I offer you some information that may be helpful? Mm-hmm. And then really asking them, what do you want? Because that has always been so powerful, especially whenever I was out in the field and I was working with the women many years ago. I'll never forget this one young lady who was pregnant, and she was abusing crack, and I'd gotten a call, and they sent me out to her house, and she had some other children. The children had been taken. And I went to her, and she was crying, and I knew what my role was, to get her into some type of treatment on behalf of that baby. You know, that was the thing that the state had sent to me, mm-hmm. gave me the mandate to do. But when I looked in her eyes, and she was crying, and I said to her, I said, so what is it that you want? And she said, I want to see my kids, because the other kids were with their father. And she said, I hadn't seen them in months, and he won't let me see them. So then I said to her, I said, well, I will help you to see your kids. I said, but would you do this for me? Would you agree to go into treatment so you can see about that baby that you're carrying now?
Mm-hmm.
And she did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was one of the success stories where mm-hmm. she was able to see her kids and she was able to have a healthy baby.
Beautiful. Wow. Beautiful. All right, we have Dr. Rosalind Tompkins with us. Hopeologist. I love that term.
I do too.
Such a great term. She is joining us, giving us some incredible wisdom. If you want to learn more about Dr. Rosalind and what she's done, including four books, you can go to www.rosalindytompkins.com. That's www.rosalindytompkins.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Another question for you, Dr. Rosalind. I know you said your daughter was a huge catalyst for you to pull yourself up and to start, you know, you on the mend. Was there another figure, whether it was an adult or a parent or, you know, a pastor, anyone who kind of was your hopeologist who helped you, inspire you to beyond your daughter? Because I can relate to a child helping change your life, but was there a figure as well, an older figure?
Oh yes, there were many along the way that planted seeds that sometimes it didn't look like that the seeds were going to bear any fruit. But my mother, and may she rest in peace, she never gave up on me. And And it was just something about her unconditional love that continued to compel me to want to do better. And I thought about that, how that really made the difference in my life, and I wanted to be that for other women who didn't have a mother, say their mother, you know, for whatever reason wasn't able to be that person and provide that type of unconditional love. But I knew how powerful that was.
Mm-hmm.
And not that she gave me money and things like that, because she knew that's not what I needed. But it was just like every time my back was against the wall and I looked up and there she was. You know, mm-hmm. there she was. She didn't give up.
Mm.
Wow.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about your drug and alcohol addiction?
Sure.
Okay, so you started at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that seems so like unfathomable. I mean, we grew up different, Dr.
I was going to say. Yeah.
We grew up different, Dr.
I don't think it's unfathomable to some people. But
for
yeah,
some people, yeah. I understand that it's not unfathomable.
Yeah. It's around them all the time.
Yeah, when it's around, you know, in your community and pushed upon you. That's something that we've got to change as a society.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making progress in that way? I mean, to hear a 12-year-old can be addicted to alcohol and drugs, bothers me, you know, and it hurts me. And I want to make sure, at least, or I hope that we're helping to change that. Are you thinking we are?
Well, no, TJ. I don't see it changing. Unfortunately, you know, as a hopeologist, I wish I could say that. But I am hopeful that we can change it. It just seems as though with the legalization of marijuana and the relaxing of some of the laws there, is just making it more plentiful. And because if you think about it, the number one drug that's abused in America is alcohol, and alcohol is legal and has been for decades. And so now we're going down that path of legalizing marijuana, and we have, and I just believe it's just going to make it a lot harder and a lot easier for our young people to get involved younger.
I think it's also, if I can interject, I think it's also what they see on TV or in videos and the cool factor of it.
You know, yes.
With alcohol or with cigarettes or with marijuana. They see their, I don't want to say heroes, but they see people that are
they
look up to doing that, and they don't realize that at a young age there's responsibility and this and that, and they want to be cool in that way. And there's their peers that are probably doing it around them, and if they don't do it, they're not cool. And that's the thing too, is whatever as society we deem cool, you know, the vices. There's always like that spike in terms of what happens afterwards, and it's like a re-education in a way that we have to do as well.
Yes, I believe so, and just continuing just to do your part and just share your truth with those that are in your sphere of influence, and like I said, sow those good seeds in the midst of it all, because the truth is always going to win in the end. It's going to always be that thing that comes shining through.
Right. A question for you. Back to the Hope Connections. 10,000 is the goal for the year, correct?
Yes.
How do, and I know you said this, and this is one of the earlier questions, but I have to admit I'm still a little confused. How do I make a hope connection?
You can make a hope connection by having a hope chat with someone. And so it starts with thinking hope.
Okay.
So you get your attitude, your mind in the right place.
Okay.
And then going and having a hope conversation or a hope chat, as we call it, with someone. And then just sharing it. If you could email us or, you know, send the information of what happened. Just talk about what happened when you went to someone or someone came to you, and using these seven steps, what happened, you know, and that's how you make a hope connection.
Okay, and one more time, the seven steps. I know you said them, but I love them, so can you repeat them one more time?
Yes. The seven steps are identify. So you identify someone who needs hope.
Okay.
Number two is you prepare. So you prepare yourself for the conversation.
So you got to.
And how you prepare is turning on your belief that things can get better, and putting on unconditional love.
So you prepare yourself before. You got to prepare yourself, correct?
Yes, you prepare yourself.
What were you going to say?
Because
hold on.
You have to have hope in order to give it.
Yes. Basically, as I say, it's like a battery. Saying? You have to be kind of charged to
yourself before you can help others.
Yes.
You can help recharge someone else.
Okay. So we identify someone, we prepare ourselves, and then number three
is you go. You go to them, and you look them in the eyes, and you say something like, I care about you, and I wanted to check in with you and see how things were doing, how things were going, and how you're doing.
Okay. Step four. I could do all that. Step four.
Okay. Then step four is the listen. So as they share, after you've gone to them, as they share how they're doing, you listen to them with a hope face. Now, hope face is a face that is warm, is kind, is exuding that you do care and that you are attentive to what they're saying. So you listen with a hope face.
And I assume the hope face is a non-judgmental face as well.
Oh, yes, yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right, just clarifying, okay. So we got identify someone, we got to prepare ourselves, we got to go mm-hmm. to them and tell them that we care about them and we want to check in. And then number four, yes. we listen to them without judgment, attentively, and with love.
Yes.
Okay.
And then number five, after they finish sharing, you encourage them. And you can say something like, I understand why you might see things that way. And then you ask them, deep down, what do you want most? That's when you ask them that question.
What do you want most? It's a great mm-hmm. question, actually. It's a great, great question.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that, bro? He's looking at me like, why haven't you ever asked me what I want most? It'd be a call.
But, you know, what is it that you want?
Okay.
So you encourage them. So okay. you encourage them, and then you ask them that question.
Okay. And step six?
Step six is you empower. And after listening to their answers, you empower with something like, I have an idea. May I share it with you? So now you're asking for permission to share with them your thoughts and maybe some help.
Beautiful. Can do. So far I'm on board. Okay. And the last step?
And the last step is a wrap up where you can say something like, just know that I'm here for you and I believe that things are going to get better. And remember, as long as there's breath in your body, there is hope and you are breathing. And, you know, just something like that to let them know that it doesn't have to end here. We can have an ongoing chat, and that becomes a hope fusion if you continue on with it.
Yes,
I love those steps. By the way,
did you come up with those, or is that something?
Oh yes, we did. We spent a lot of time. Me and my hope squad. I have a hope squad.
that's a part
of Mothers in Crisis.
I love it. Yeah. Like you live in Hopeville and the Hope Home.
Yeah, everything is hope.
Hope squad. I like that.
I love it. Okay, so am I reading this?
Yeah. Okay. Tara wants you to read it.
Okay.
We have a question from our brother who texted us.
Yeah,
instead of calling in.
And I got to give him a quick shout out because he's on vacation.
Yes.
He's not in town. That's why he's not here.
Oh.
And he's still plugged in. And he is so, you know.
It's probably loud in his car because I know they like to have fun.
No,
and stuff
it's
like
really cool. Okay,
so
here's his question.
That's probably why I didn't call in.
Here's his question, Dr. Tompkins. Okay. He said, hey, bros, and hello, Dr. Tompkins. I'm in San Francisco right now, but I'm listening to the show and really enjoying it. My question is this. With so much craziness going on in our world today and staying with the theme of hope, how do we balance sharing the state of our world today without injecting fear and doubt? Suicide rates are growing, and with social media and other outlets, it's not as easy to guard and protect our youth. Should we even guard them from such things? How do we continue to give our kids strength, inspiration, and hope when there's so much hate and fear in our world today?
It's a lot of questions, but they're good questions.
They're great questions.
Yes, yes, those are wonderful questions, and I believe it boils down to the things that we've been talking about. When you make that. When you have that relationship, good relationship with your children, with the young people, you have a door to their heart, and when you begin to share the positive things and things of hope, even in the midst of everything else that they are receiving, because you can't shield them from it, but nevertheless, you can be a shield by giving them that positivity, the truth, the hope. You know, yeah, things are like this, but we can do this, or let's look at this, let's look at what we can do to make a change, to get them active, to get them involved. So I believe that that is the hope. The hope is for those conscious individuals like you guys who are making a difference and who are willing to step up and let your positive voices be heard. And I mean, The Power of Love. Well, boy, that's a, I love that. I love the name of your show.
Cool.
Thank you. I mean, that is it. You know, yeah. There's no greater power than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I just encourage you just to continue to do that and just know it will make a difference. Now, they may have to go through their own challenges and their situations. We all do. But mm-hmm. I believe that if you have those seeds that are planted in them, that they'll be all right. They'll come out on the other side stronger for it.
That's right. That's right. Taj, was there anything else?
I have a question in terms of with the message of hope and this and that. What would you say is like the greatest enemy of hope in terms of what you see in terms of in the world today? Like
hate. That's why we launched a Hope Not Hate campaign several months ago, especially during the time when it was just so much rhetoric that was being put out there, hatred, mm-hmm. and I think that's the biggest enemy that we have to hope, because whenever you allow that evilness of and that cancer of hate to come in into the equation, it just kills all the hope.
Yeah.
So what we were encouraging people to do, and what we were doing is putting out messages of hope to counteract that hate, mm-hmm. and just to let people know that it's not about focusing on what some people may be saying or may be doing, but it's about making sure that you stay in that place that, you know, there are ways that we can change this, that if we need to vote all of them out, whatever we need to do, mm-hmm. we just need to realize there is hope. We can make a difference. We don't have to go toe-to-toe with all of that hot air and rhetoric that we hear out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as the hopeologist, not as a hopeologist, but I'm going to call you the hopeologist, are you hopeful with where we're going? Currently.
I am.
Okay.
I am. I'm very hopeful, because we just had a mass shooting in Florida, mm-hmm. in Parkland, Florida, and at one of the schools there were 17 people were killed, mostly students.
Yeah.
And when that happened a couple of months ago now.
Yeah.
But when that first happened, I tell you, it kind of threw me for a loop, and I was spiraling in a hopeless place, because I was thinking about Sandy Hooks, and I was thinking about our young people, and I was like, boy, you know, this thing is like out of control. What are we going to do? And then as I continued to just watch and look at the situation, I saw the young people, the students.
Yeah.
They came to the Capitol here in Tallahassee, and they were meeting with the legislatures and meeting with the, and they were, I mean, these young people,
I know.
They were on fire. They was like, vote them out, vote them out, yeah. Never again. And then all of a sudden, as you all see, the different rallies that has taken place and everything,
yeah.
And that brought me hope.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, it's always like that. That was in the civil rights movement. The young people, they mm-hmm. rose up. They started sitting at those counters, the freedom riders.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what we have to remember. Some of us, you know, that's been here, like I've been here for a while. We've been out here for a while. And sometimes you could say, well, wow, just nothing's changing. But we always have to remember that there's a generation coming behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can support them. We can encourage them, because they are our future. And that's hope.
Just beautiful. Okay, and Taj, is there something else?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have a question for Twitter. Real quick. But I think that it was answered. How do we stay positive when there's so much hate and violence around us?
Okay. I have to ask you a quick question, Dr. Rosalind. Can you answer this? I assume there are moments, not much, because you are the hopeologist, but there may be a time or was a time recently where you kind of lost a hope or some type of doubt, and if so, how did you eliminate that and recorrect so quickly? Is it a book, or is there a phrase, or is it just because that's your mentality? Was there something that has helped you recover back into the world of hope when you had a tribulation?
Well, at this point in my life, I only surround myself with hopeful people. My husband is oh man, he is awesome. He is hopeful. My hope squad, you know, mm-hmm. all of the people that I really that are in the inner circle. Mm-hmm. So maybe I may be down, then they'll lift me up, and vice versa. So we just kind of keep a hope sphere. We call it a hope sphere,
yeah.
Where it's a hope atmosphere that even if we start going off on a negative path, because it's easy to do that,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We always make that U-turn and come back around and say, okay, now let's find the hope. Where's the hope? Where's the hope? And I guarantee you, when you seek for hope and you look for it, you will find it. It might just be a little flicker, but that flicker will shine the light in the midst of whatever the darkness is. So that's how I do it. I just surround myself with the hopeful people.
I love it. That's great advice, and I think that speaks very clearly and loudly and profoundly to people. You got to select yourself, put yourself with great people. Okay, so we are, Dr. Rosalind, we are basically out of time, but what I like to do is give our guests 30 seconds or so to say whatever it is you want. You could promote something, you could talk about it, you could say a phrase, whatever you want, 30 seconds, go ahead.
During the month of April, which is our first ever National Month of Hope, I encourage you to make a hope connection with someone and to think hope. Because remember, as long as there's breath in your body, there is hope, and you are breathing, and people need hope.
Beautiful. Beautiful. There you have it. Dr. Rosalind Tompkins, the one and only... Oh. I don't know, one and only, I'll say the founder and the main hopeologist, partake in this hope challenge, hashtag hope challenge, inspire people, bring people hope. We went through the 7 steps to do that, make a hope connection. And for anyone who wants to read any of the books, she has written 4 great books, www.rosalind, R-O-S-A-L-I-N-D, the letter Y, Tompkins, TOMPKINS.com. That's the hub where you can get all types of hope. We all can use it. And Dr. Rosalind, I just want to thank you on behalf of both of my brothers, Taj and Terrell and Royal, for joining us and spreading that hope to the world. So thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
No problem. Anything else, Todd, you want to say?
You know me and hope, so.
Okay. Really, Dr. Rosalind, thank you. It was a great interview, and I know you made a difference, so thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Take
and you
care.
Guys keep going. Keep
we
doing
will.
What you're doing.
That's
it
right.
Makes
we,
a difference.
That's thank right. You. We will. Thank you, Dr. Rosalind.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. God
Take
bless
care.
You guys.
Thank
God
you.
Bless
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I think that was... That's
right up my alley.
I love Taj,
oh, my
You're
goodness.
An inspirational, positive guy. So I think it was great. You know, Rose, anything? You didn't really talk today, man.
He's listening.
Yeah, okay, as long as you're taking it in. We have to roll. We are out of time. We will be back here next Wednesday, 1 to 2. And that's pretty much it. Taj, anything?
No.
All right. Well, everyone have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you next week.
Stay hopeful.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.